Well, let me ask you a question as you're taking your Bibles and turning to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Is there hope for revival in our land? You look at the land that we're in and the land that you and I are blessed to live in, and the question has to be asked is, how much longer before the judgment of God just completely breaks through this earth? You and I look around and we definitely see signs of the judgment of God. We see signs all around us. We're becoming more and more unstable as a society. We're not near as sure about our financial security as we once were. We're a land that is sort of pivoting. You look around you, and of course it's been a long time since we've had a godly conscience about us. But the truth about it is we're growing further and further away in our walk with God. You look on TVs now and you see that there are many people who raise questions about many gods. That is, we're a land filled with polygods, many gods. There's many ways of going to heaven, many ways of being right. You and I live in a land that is slowly but surely walking away from the very Word of God. The very conscience of God is etching away from the society you and I live in. I just happened to be glancing on Facebook last night and was checking on some folks, and it was Stephanie's birthday, and over to the side there was a slogan about a certain type of war. And what intrigued me about it was, says, 2 million people have played this war this month. And the title of it was Mafia War. Where are we going as a land? Is there any hope for America? Or are we gone to the point that we've reached the breaking point? Revival is not just a church issue. Revival is necessary nationwide. If revival does not come to our land, we are ruined. If revival does not come to this earth, to the people of God, in 20, 30 years from now, you and I will have no idea probably what America looks like. We are $4 trillion in debt. There will be a payday someday. There will be a time on the calendar of God when there is a payment. The Bible makes it very clear in the book of Deuteronomy. You don't have to turn there. But God makes it very clear to His people. He says, if you decide you don't want me and you want to turn away from my ways, I'm going to tell you all the things that will come upon you. They'll overtake you until you're destroyed. One of the intriguing things in that passage of Scripture is something that is happening to our land. We're slowly but surely becoming an immigrant land where people aren't just learning English, but different languages, different nationalities, and different languages in our land. But in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, as you read that passage, one of the things that Scripture says is, I will cause a nation to swoop down upon you until you are destroyed, until you are suddenly destroyed. Well, the truth about it is there is hope. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is that passage of Scripture that reminds us that there is hope, but the answer is yes, if. You know, we wonder, is there hope for our land? And if you'll take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I want to paint the backdrop before I read the passage of Scripture. Solomon has finished completing the temple that God directed him to build. And as Solomon completed the building, they brought offerings to God and they worshiped God and they laid those offerings before God. And as they laid those offerings before God, He reminded them and He reminded Solomon that you are my people, that there is something special between you and me. If you will make your relationship with me of utmost importance, I will do some things in your land if you give priority to your relationship. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you give your relationship with God top priority? Are you one in which God can use you to help heal this land? In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the temple has been finished, and the Bible says these words. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering, and the sacrifice and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priest waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endures forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from the entering in of Dahamath under the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tent, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer. I have chosen this place." Now he's talking about the tabernacle. "This place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land." The temple was erected, and Solomon was in the presence of God. And God made it very clear to Solomon. So, "Solomon, I want you to understand how significant Israel is to me and how significant you are to me in the land. You and I, in 20 years, if something does not happen in the land, we probably will not recognize the United States of America. If something does not radically happen in this land, you and I will live in this land, and it may very well be that we don't even know really a great deal about the land we live in. We're quickly and radically altering, but we're altering away from God. And I hope you will listen carefully and prayerfully this morning, because you are pivotal to this message. You are pivotal in what takes place in this land." If you'll follow very carefully, I want you to notice some truths and principles that God makes it very clear to Solomon. That he says, "Solomon, I want you to understand there is hope through the people of God." You know, as you read 2 Chronicles, there is the backdrop, and as you look at the backdrop, the temple is being built, and all of a sudden God says in the midst of that, said, "Solomon, I want you to understand that if I shut up heaven, if there's pestilence in their land, that is, if I close the windows of heaven, the people of God have a very special hearing in the sight of the Father." You know, God made it clear to his servant Solomon that his people have a special relationship to him. Do you ever stop and realize that you have a special relationship with God the Father and you potentially affect this land? You see, sometimes we look at ourselves and I'm not that significant and I'm not that important. That's not what God the Father says. He said, if my people who are called by my name, and then he goes on to tell them what they will do. But first of all, he says, I want you to understand that you have a pivotal part in the changing of the earth. Do you realize it never has been biblically legislation, government that changed the earth? The Bible makes it very clear that it is the people of God that affect change in society. Evan Roberts, that great, great servant of God in Britain years ago when there was a tremendous revival, he was the choice servant that God used. Jonathan Wesley and George Whitefield and some of the great others in England that God used to bring about revival in that land. Do you stop and realize how significant you are to this land and how significant you are to the Father when it comes to revival? Sadly, so many people don't. So many Christians do not understand their serious relationship with the Father. God makes it very clear that you and I have a very significant. You and I can affect change positively, or we can affect change negatively. You see, sometimes we think, well, my life's not that significant. Oh, yes, it is. Because all throughout the Bible, there are stories of one person and what that one person did before God. The Bible tells the story of Jabez. Jabez is found in the book of Chronicles. But the Bible says Jabez prayed to God of heaven. And he said, Lord God, I pray that you bless me. I pray that you enlarge my coast. Keep your hand upon me. Keep me from evil, that it wouldn't grieve you. And the Bible says God did exactly what he requested. The Bible tells the story of Joseph. Do you realize the entire land was rescued and saved because of Joseph's righteousness? But here's the problem. Some of you don't take your walk with God serious at all. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because I'm here and I see what happens. Listen to me real carefully. Tell me you take your walk with God seriously and you can't be found in God's house. God's people, God's house. God made it very clear to Solomon. He said, it's my people that I watch. Do you realize God watches your life? He watches your life to see what type of man or woman you desire to be. And there is something significant about your life. You affect change. It is your walk. God said, if my people... And you know, as you read that, there is only hope through the people of God. How is government going to change this world? It can't. How are politicians going to change this world? They cannot. Listen, Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. If you lose your saltiness, it's over. If you stop counting for America, if you stop counting in your Christian life, this world is over. Say, how do you know? Read the Bible. Two cities, no one in them righteous. No one in them cared for God. No one in them sought the heart of God. No one in them. Didn't say there weren't religious people in them. But the Bible says God looked from heaven and he destroyed them. You and I need to be very conscious of this fact. God has been and he is and he always will be in control of this world. But there's nothing that says America stands. There's nothing in the Bible that says America stands. Dr. David Jeremiah just recently wrote a book, The Coming Financial Armageddon. We're approaching it. There is something, and you can sort of sense the winds. There is the winds of instability in our land. There is the wind of, oh yeah, there's the wind of religion. But there is such a wind of instability. And something, in a short period of time, is going to give. Look at number two. There is hope only if God's people express true humility. You know, God made it very clear to Solomon. He said, Solomon, if my people humble themselves. Do you know what the word humble in this passage of Scripture literally, actually, authentically means? It means if they get on their knees. Now, I'm not going to make you get on your knees, and I wouldn't dare do that because that's between you and the Father. But let me ask you one simple question. As I was reading this, when was the last time you personally got on your knees before Almighty God? You see, here's what happens in our life. I know we can pray standing. I understand that. You know, we can pray walking and going here and there. But here's what God told Solomon. He says, it's my people. Listen, there's something about getting on your knees. There's something about when you get on your knees before a holy God, you realize, God, there's no hope for our land. Listen, the Bible makes it very clear. Solomon said, if I shut up heaven, If I close the windows of heaven, he says, here's something. If my people will humble themselves, what that means is there's a sense of arrogance that's taking place. And listen, that's the way it is today. Why is it people don't desire to be in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? And I recognize schedules do and work schedules. You know, you have to take care of your family, and it doesn't prevent some individuals. But at the same time, a dedicated Christian will make it his or her business to be in the house of God, to be serving God. But you know what happened in the days of Solomon? And there was a pride. And that's the same way it is today. There's a pride. There's an arrogance. There's a sense. Listen, could it be that one of the best things for our land is a good old-fashioned depression? Could it be that one of the best things for us is to lose the things we cherish? What would happen to churches then? They would be full and running over. God is never teasing about our relationship with him. And you see what God told Solomon. Real revival isn't primarily reaching the lost, though that is significant. And it will always happen when there's real. You know what real revival is? Real revival is me taking my walk with God serious, moment by moment, day by day, week by week. And you see, the thing about it is, it's not rules and regulations, but here's a God who loves you. Here's a God who cares. Listen, he cares about the United States of America, but you know what's happened? Christians have stopped counting. Well, what do you believe? You know, what do you believe about Bibles in school? They ought to be there. They ought to be in our schools. Listen, we were founded on biblical principles. We had good and godly men. Listen, 23 or 27 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were graduates of seminary. You need to stand on the truth of the Word of God. And the Bible makes it very clear. Listen, God's people, when they are the boldest and the bravest and the strongest, is when they get on their knees before a holy God and they take their walk with God seriously. Do you take your walk with God seriously? You know what will happen probably with this revival meeting? I'm pretty much predicted if it's normal. A lot of you won't be here tonight. You say, now, Pastor, don't be too upfront. I'm not. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I never would do that. Let me ask you a question. And I do understand there are certain situations, but let me ask you something. Our land is eroding away. Our land is going by the wayside. There will be a time in which you look back and it'll be too late. There was a time in which the people of God, they said, we'll come back to you, God. As a matter of fact, in the Numbers it happened. And you know, Moses told the people of God, it's too late. The judgment of God is already underway. Could it be that we've waited too late, that the judgment is already underway, and we can't even stop it? God said, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves. Listen, the question you need and I need to ask ourselves is this. When was the last time I humbled myself before God? In other words, Lord God, whatever you said, that's what goes. I want to make a godly difference in this land. I want to make a godly difference in my community. Now, does that go out and push the Bible on everyone? No, what it means is this. You be a godly conscience in your workplace. Humble people are never pushy people, but you know what they do? You will not get them to swallow other people, all this junk that's going out there. If you're a godly person, people say, well, you know, everybody's going to heaven. You know, there's just a whole lot of different ways. A godly person won't say that. No, there's not. Listen, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it very clear. There's only hope when God's people seek his face. What that means is this, you being obedient to the living God. You and 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 myself. We being obedient to God, God made it very clear. If my people make it their business to listen to me, to humble themselves, to get on their face and walk in obedience to the living God, he said, I will make it my business to listen from heaven. Can God listen to your prayer because of your obedience? Is obedience important to you? Now let's get real. You're going to die and you're going to stand in the presence of the Lord someday. Is obedience a big deal to your life? You see, God didn't mince his word, and he didn't hem-haw around. He said, it means my people humbling themselves. And next, he says, not only does my people humbling themselves, but also seeking my face. Now, what does it mean to seek the face of God? Well, when you seek someone else, that means you want to enter into a relationship with them. You remember, husbands, when you first met your girlfriend who is now your wife, and you saw her face, and you think, that's a pretty good person. I'd like to hang out with that person. I'd like to spend a lifetime with them. Now listen to me very carefully. God is serious. He's not a harsh God, but here's what he says. Listen, if you lose your godliness, it's over. And, you know, it is the issue of obedience is central. You know, sadly, the reality in so many lives is this. Obedience is not that important. Yes, I want to go to church. Yes, I want to read a little bit in my Bible. What about obedience? What about obedience, husband, in your life? Maybe God's telling you to do something and give up something. Well, I'll go to church. I'm not talking about church attendance. I'm talking about obedience to the living God. What about obedience to his command, obedience to his directives? When he gives you a directive, listen, our Lord reminds us it is better to obey than sacrifice. You know what happens? When there's an obedient husband in a home, there's going to be a good home, there's going to be a godly home, and that home's going to make an impact for God and for good. You know why? Because that's the way God has set it up. When there's just a husband in the home and all you're just interested in is a little church attendance here and a little church attendance there and a little giving of money this, listen, don't expect the blessings of God. He will make it his business. You know what God did for one young man by the name of Joseph? Because obedience was so. The Bible says God blessed the house of Potiphar for Joseph's sake. Do you realize when you seek the face of God that, Father, whatever you say goes. Now you say that's scary. God won't kill you. You know, sometimes we follow his command. We think, well, God just wear it. No, he won't. Listen, how can he give his son to die on the cross for you and then want to hurt you? But the devil loves to get us to believe that. And you see, here's what God said to Solomon. And, you know, the issue is, but if I seek his face, how significant is obedience? Husbands, I want to stop and I want to ask you this question. I want you to answer it. Don't answer it out loud. Answer it in your soul. Obedience is important to me, yes or no? Answer it. Is it? Wives? You answer this. Obedience to the Father is important to me. Yes or no? Well, you say, Pastor, I'm scared. I know exactly what you're talking about because I thought, God, if I obey you and you'll take me to Timbuktu or to the Congo continent, he'll only bless you. And you see, what God told Solomon is this. I want my people to know how the world is affected by them. Do you realize that? Do you realize that this entire city is affected by this one church? Do you realize that? Do you realize how many hundreds and thousands of people are affected by the lives of those that are here? Because every one of us have come into contact with people all throughout this week, and you affect them for God and for His Word. Listen, you don't know what you've done, but you've caused them to think. And you have no idea. And you see, the Bible makes it very clear. There's only hope when we seek His face. What happens is this. A lot of believers want a little bit of church and a little bit of this. Listen, if you're not interested in obedience, don't you dare try to pray. Because you know why? You say, well, I can bow my head and pray like anybody else. No, you can't. You can close your eyes, yes. You can bow your head, yes. You can get on your knees, yes. But if I don't regard obedience in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. As a matter of fact, if He's surfacing something in my life, And you see, the hope of revival is God's people seeking His face, obedience to His word. You know, God isn't looking for a massive amount, but He's looking for godly people. You know, we're suffering. Why are we suffering? Why are we as a land suffering? One of the reasons, and I hear it enough, there's just not a standing in the home. Dads, do you stand up in your home? Your son wants to do something, your daughter wants to do something, and you know it's wrong, and you just sort of cave into the pressure. The Bible makes it very clear that one godly man affects a world. James said the effectual fervent prayer of one, of a righteous person, availeth much. What that means in the sight of the Father is this. Godliness is important to you. Obedience is important to you. You get on your knees and all heaven is silent for you. You say, oh, I wish that was so. It is so. It's the very word of God. What that means is if you're bowing your head, you're closing your eyes, you're serious before God, and you want to walk in obedience, the Father, you have the Father's undivided attention because it's a big deal to be obedient. It's a big deal to walk in obedience. There's hope only when God's people repent. You know, He said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have a wicked way in your life? Well, you say, no, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Didn't ask you that. Now, listen to me very carefully. This might get a little bit close to home. Let me ask you a question. If you had a need for surgery and you went to the doctor and the doctor told you, I'm sorry, but, you know, you've got appendicitis. It's going to come out. You say, I just don't like your report because I don't like surgery. And you go to somebody else and they do a test, say, well, no, you don't need any surgery. I wouldn't dare hurt you. I wouldn't touch your body because that would inflict pain. I like your report. And then 6 months later, you die. Which one has done you good? Now, listen to me very carefully. Listen to my heart and listen to my words very carefully. I would never hurt you in any way. But I'm going to ask you collectively, have you allowed some wicked ways to come between you and the Father? You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, let me just ask you a question. And just evaluate these questions. Do I yearn to please myself over God? That's wicked. Do you realize that? The Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know what happens? We're the priority. My life, my comfort, that's a wicked way in the sight of the Father. Do I want to please myself? Do I desire to gratify myself rather than obey God? You know why you've never witnessed to some people? It's not always easy, is it? It's a little struggle. But the question is, was it the obedient thing to do? You see, some people gratify themselves, but the Father said that's a wicked way. And we live in a land of wicked ways. You know, He said, do I take from God? Do I take from the Lord's finances? And I need it and I use it. God, you understand, you're God. The Bible says that's a wicked way. He said, if my people, now, surgery is not fun. I know what it's like to have surgery, and some of you are being operated on right now by your Father in heaven, but listen very carefully. Whether you allow Him to operate or do not operate will determine the future of your life, will determine what happens next in your life. And you see, when you allow the Father to operate, and you said, Pastor, I don't like some of the things, and they're not enjoyable, I can tell you this. There's some things in my life the Father surfaced to me. I didn't want Him to tell me. I didn't want to hear it. But it determined the rest of my life. I didn't want Him to open my heart and tell me I hated a man at one time, but He did. You see, here's the reality. It's not just this meeting, but where this land goes is dependent upon you and me. Where we go as a country is in a part dependent upon your godliness. You see, he made it very clear. You know, it depends on their righteousness. Do I love the things of the world over and above the things of God? Let me ask you a question. What do you think the Father would say about your life of obedience right now? Would the Father be pleased with your life? And you see, here's the reality. Whenever God does a wonderful work, he starts by cleansing a people. He said, if my people will turn from their wicked ways. Do you realize that so many people are involved in obscene things and sensual things, and we don't even know the count because there's just don't feel like there's a need. Said, if my people, well, what happens if we don't? Listen to me real carefully. We're ruined, and it's over. If God's people do not repent, if God's people do not return to him, we as a land are ruined, and it's over. You say, I just don't really believe that. Doesn't matter. It's the history of Scripture. It is said that 13 civilizations have only traces of existence. And get this, the average length of a healthy society is only 200 years. We're a little over 200 and some odd years old. The Bible makes it very clear. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 5 for a moment. If God's people fail to repent, there's no revival and there'll be ruin in the land. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And listen to what he says. You're the salt of the earth. You, every one of you. If you're a child of God, you're the salt of the earth. Even if you're a child, if you're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old and you're a child of God, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith that shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. The Bible makes it very clear that you and I are salt. But you understand salt has to do with preserving. Back when I was just a little boy, Dad had a smokehouse. And out back, he put a ham out there. And he covered it with this stuff, and I didn't understand why then. It looked ugly, to be honest with you. But he covered it with salt. It looked a whole lot prettier if it hadn't had that stuff on it. But it would have ruined. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. These are the words of your master. These are the words of Jesus to you and to me. If you lose your salt, your godliness, if obedience is not significant anymore to your life, you can't do the world any good, and you don't do any good to the Father. Jesus says, you're good for, say it with me, nothing. And the sad reality about it is, there's a lot of people who claim to be saved by the grace of God. They're making no godly difference. They're not a conscience in their home. They're not a godly conscience in their society. Listen, some people around you, and they say things, and when they get around you, they stop their conversation because you're a godly conscience. Never will forget a store I went into, and they was telling jokes, and one man would say, "Hello there, preacher." And that meant everybody stop you cussing or fussing or whatever you're doing. You shut up right now. That's fine. You know why? Because God used me to bear witness to especially one precious life, and that one precious life has become a dear friend to me, and that's Don Elmore sitting right there on that front seat. I didn't know what the Father was up to, but listen to me real carefully. If you lose your salt, if we lose our salt, it's over. You say, well, God can do whatever he wants to. What he does is he finds a people that make a godly difference in the land. And you know what? Your godliness not only affects Corbin, your godliness affects the world. You realize you're walking godly, and some of you watched those men from Chile and you probably prayed for them. The Father heard your prayers and he brought about a rescue. Listen very carefully. Because there were two cities in the Old Testament, nobody godly in any one of them. Sodom and Gomorrah, you know the story. But there wasn't anybody godly in them. Religious, yes. Probably went to the synagogue, church, whatever. They went to some religious, but they weren't godly. And God finally destroyed them. One last note. When you read the book of the Revelation, you read Daniel, America is not named. The geographical location of America is not even pinpointed. Could it be that America is gone? Say, surely not. There are things that I see that I thought, surely this would never happen. I never thought that I would see, and I won't even name some of them because they're too horrendous, but they're displayed on national news. What about your godliness? What about your walk with the Father? Heavenly Father, you remind us that this land is not promised a long-term existence. But you do promise us in your word that godly people make a difference in the land. Father, my presence in this land is significant to you, not because of me, but because of what you've done. And Lord, you're just bringing me afresh to realize that over and over again. Lord, our walk of obedience, individually and corporately, is significant. And Father, the hope of revival is left with the people of God. Lord, we have misapplied some of your most precious truths. You don't promote revival. Revival comes from the Spirit of God, from people being obedient to God. And Father, I pray this morning, pray for that man, for that woman, who knows they're not walking in step with you, and you're opening some area in their life that they need to respond to you in obedience. Lord, there's a person here that doesn't have Jesus Christ in their life, and they don't have hope at all. The only hope is found for them is if they confess their sins and invite Christ into their life. And if they don't do that, it's forever over. Holy Spirit, work in their life. Remind them you don't push them. You won't make them. But you work in their heart. And if they desire to die lost, you won't make them be saved. But they will remember back to opportunities they had, to times they had, that they resisted and they rejected. Father, that person who needs to come and needs to join this fellowship, maybe that family that needs to come and join this fellowship, but Father, you remind us if we don't take these days seriously, we as a land may be over. Keep us conscious of that, Father. Keep us conscious that we're such a difference if we walk godly. God, in this invitation is our prayer. In Jesus, I pray.